You know what I'm thinking? Yeah. I'm supposed to do TikTok because I'm supposed to do TikTok. I haven't done anything yet. Yeah. And I thought maybe I should do South African British peers. Oh. Yeah, but every day I'm just dancing. I just dance like Helen Zille. And I'm quite.
That would be a sight to see. What's up, guys? It's your boy Nick Hale, and we're back for another episode of Enter the Muse. Today, I have the godfather of South African rock and roll. He is a true legend and a fellow dreamer. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Arnoud Carstens to the Muse!
Hi guys, lovely. I love that intro. fellow dreamer.
I myself am a dreamer, and it's always good to meet
a dreamer. Leo, you're right. Pisces.
I see.
Yeah, so okay. We are either functional dreamers or useless dreamers.
Yeah, I'm a fiery, dysfunctional dreamer, but a dreamer nonetheless.
So, sir, I just want to let you know that your music, your discography is dope. Because whenever I listen to an Arnoud Carstens song, I'm like, this is my favorite Arnoud Carstens song. And then I listen to another one, and I'm like, nah, this is my favorite Arnoud Carstens song.
What's your process like? I'm sure it's different for you.
So I'm a music nerd and a music fan, and I listen to other people's music, and I like from heavy, like metal to rock to rap to duke ballads. But then it all comes together in good productions as well, you know what I mean? And just stuff that's interesting lyrics. Maybe sometimes it's a vibe, sometimes it's a groove. So I listen to a lot of music and I do a lot of things. And then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I get influenced by them to try and write better songs and to try and, you know what? The whole thing about art is it always comes at a different angle to what's going on,
right?
You know what I mean, and that makes it interesting.
Like,
so you can almost feel where things are going. It's like fashion. So you can feel when things are going to go into certain things. Certain instruments will become fashionable and go out. I love it.
Yeah.
I know what you mean because I've also delved into music, and I know what you mean when you say like, oh, you have something in mind, but then the producer comes in and mixes it up, and you're like, no, this actually works.
I remember we recorded this one song, and in the demo, it was really quite of a heavy song. And then the guy said, no, but what will Beyonce do with this guy? And I was like, I thought he was first joking.
But he was serious.
And then I thought, no, but... He was like a young, you know, younger kind of very successful producer.
Yeah.
That's actually so cool. So, you know what I mean? Because of the 90s, we came from a time where it was just grunge or it was heavy rock and you're all like rock purists and you're kind of snobbish towards other genres. But actually, at the end of the day, if you're a music lover, it doesn't matter what genre it is. A good song's a good song.
Yeah, facts.
And then actually making use of that in your productions, that is quite fresh. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
So you have a single out now, and you're going back to your Afrikaans roots. I know you've made some good English bangers. So what made you decide to take it back to your Afrikaans roots?
So a couple of years ago, I did a show with Celine Dion at the O2.
Wow.
5 nights. And one thing about a show is that you would do about 4 French Canadian songs.
Okay.
Because she's French Canadian.
All right.
And the thing is, I think she was really so sexy and cool.
Yeah.
And it made her shows like really interesting in a certain way. It wasn't just these Titanic.
Was this in Canada? Or
no, in London.
Okay.
So when I came back and the record company made me offer to do my first Afrikaans album, I thought of the Celine Dion vibe, and that it made her actually cool to sing in 2 different languages. And then, of course, the fact that we all grew up with Johnny Clegg. But the thing is, Johnny Clegg is so close to us that sometimes you don't see, and it takes somebody from overseas to make you see what you've already got. So it was very, it was an interesting experience, but then at that moment I for the first time saw that it can culturally enrich a show because it makes it a bit more interesting. And it must be, and anyway, I did it and it was, it's fantastic. I mean, it's quite a gift because writing in Afrikaans is different to writing in English.
Yeah.
And
Is it harder?
No, English is very easy, right? Yeah. That just flows, right? Right. You can hoy with that. But Afrikaans, you gotta, it's a quite emotionally driven language and it sounds like very Klingon, like cat,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I find lyrical content must be good, the use of the language must be good. Kind of have respect for this weird animal, you know what I mean, which is Afrikaans.
Right.
And if you use it well, then it could be quite beautiful. So in that sense, I find it to be extremely satisfying. And because, I mean, I grew up Afrikaans. Yeah.
So getting the rhyme scheme right must take some time, but I'm sure you enjoy that.
You know, I like writing songs. So if I could, I would write songs in. If I knew Xhosa or Zulu, Jesus, I mean, it's interesting when Dozy did those songs in Xhosa and Zulu, or I don't know what language he was doing it in. It's always fascinating. Languages are amazing. I listen to lots of German music and Italian music. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
I've seen you perform with U2 and Rolling Stones, and now I wouldn't call them the greatest of all time, but they're up there amongst the best. So what was it like performing with them?
Well, I had to choose between who was the best.
I
think for currently in that moment, it was probably U2 because they, but I mean, Rolling Stones is just amazing, but I mean, you can't compare the two, but the fact is, they are, it is incredible. I mean, it's so massive. Rolling Stones, I had my first stage fright little setup, or, you know, experience, because I was walking on stage, and we were putting down our little pedals, guitar pedals, to do sound check, and it looked so, so small. Everything was so small, because you're on this 10-story high, this stage that is just so massive.
Yeah.
So you feel like, and then walking on stage, I also felt like, whoa, because you just look up at this thing and it's like, oh. So that was quite weird. Yeah. But U2 wasn't that, because they've got the Claw. We played in Soweto Stadium.
Okay.
And the Claw is a big structure, but it's not so intimidating, right? Because it's quite open.
Okay.
But we had, there was 100,000 people strong in Soweto Stadium. And we had full sound. Normally the guys give you less sound in the main band, but we had full sound. And it was an incredible show. So that was probably Springbok Nicol's biggest audience we've ever played for with full sound. So that was, it was fantastic.
So you mentioned Springbok Nude Girls. What made you decide that it was time to leave and pursue your own ambitions?
Well, we did 7 years of success, and then you hit the ceiling, you don't know where to go. We were supposed to move to New York. I was already 27. At 27 and that, and this business is quite old. So the bassist has got a wife and kid at that stage. So we said, let's just leave it.
Take everything to New York.
So we were supposed to go, but then you got to go with the wife and kid. So then it's like, no, man. So we just kind of pulled it quits because things, you know, the guys were also, some guys had to go to rehab. Things were getting out of hand.
Okay.
And you know what? That was the end of TKZ. All of us, we were all, you know what I mean, at that time of Quieto and grunge or whatever, the 90s.
Right.
That 7 years is a long time to party.
So, yeah.
And albums. So we kind of burned out. And then I had to go on and I had to do a bit of modeling. And eventually I got some guys to pay for me to record a new album. And then it took off again.
So you had taken a break from music and then ventured to...
But not by design.
Yeah.
It was just because it's...
Circumstances.
When it broke up, then the record company disappears. Okay. Everything just disappears.
Yeah.
So, and then you've got like, oh. But then, yeah, I mean, I've always written songs. So I just wrote an album for myself.
I feel that it would be natural because there would come a time when you just want to like, okay, make music now.
Yeah. But I never stopped writing music. But if, the thing is, there was a time where I went, okay, I think my music career is over. So, all right, I'm making peace with it, but I'm just... And then suddenly I wrote the most beautiful album, which was Another Universe album, my first solo album.
Yeah.
And it's weird enough, that's when it... somehow you just... Like maybe there was no more of the pressure or something.
The success of that.
You've given up on life. And suddenly she's pregnant.
So it must have come to a shock to you. I mean, with the success of that album, I think Another Universe on YouTube has about like 14 million views, maybe more. So how was it like to deal with the embrace of the industry and the media and fans?
Well, so that's at that stage was Radio 5 or I don't know what it was. Still Radio 5. They refused to play it.
Why?
I don't know.
They didn't give you an answer.
Yeah, but it's so basically I sent the song to radio. I love the song. Nothing doesn't happen. And then suddenly Volkswagen put it on the ad.
Okay.
The touring ad.
Did they speak to you about that beforehand?
Yeah, because they've got to buy the song.
Right.
So I thought, well, it's a win, even if it doesn't do well.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the song took off.
Okay.
And then everybody played it. Except Radio 5432.
Yeah. Well, they must be kicking themselves.
They also did it with The Sex Is On Fire.
Oh,
they didn't play it. They didn't play it.
Crazy. Maybe because they had the word sex in that song. So like,
I don't think it was urban enough for them. So.
Oh, okay.
The Radio 5, just like all the radio stations in South Africa, has gone through all they go through change because they want to get another radio station's listeners. So, you know, and it's politics and it's this and it's that. And then it, I don't know.
So what's your views on streaming with like Spotify and all these platforms? Because the music industry is like constantly changing and now it's going through like a major change.
So basically, normally I used to be very depressed since we've been giving away 98% of your... You paint a painting, you give it away for free.
Yeah.
Somebody had a pulse rate, the money. So that used to be a very sad thing, but... I have found a new way to make money off music.
Ooh, can you please share?
Yeah. So, I'm a painter, so I make the paintings, I sell it, I make the prints, I sell it. Then I make NFTs.
Mm.
So I take the painting, I digitize it, and I turn it into almost an animation, which is so much fun.
Yeah.
Then I sell it as an NFT. So, since I've been doing that, I took a recording of a song that I put out, a live recording of it. I mixed it well. I made a video for it, a live video. I sold the video as an NFT, and then I sold about 100 songs as NFTs.
Wow.
Of the same song. So I made enough money from that to record another song. So, because you're going to spend 15,000 rand to record a song in a cheap video.
Yeah.
And you're going to make 300 rand back, unless you make a cat scene on the video. Okay?
Yeah.
So, this is a new way for artists to make money. Embrace Bitcoin.
I never heard that coming from an artist.
Decentralize your money. Get it out of the hands of governments. Take control.
That's really smart. So, how did you get into NFTs?
My wife, in lockdown, it was such a dark time. But she started reading about this stuff, about Bitcoin, and there's a book called, I'll check it now, but it's all about this, it's about the future and what's going to happen, right? And basically Bitcoin's not going to go anywhere, governments are falling apart, so the dollar... You know, things are not cool. You don't know how strong the dollar is tomorrow because they're kind of bankrupt. They need to have a war. The world's getting destabilized. It's more difficult for us to put our money into currencies.
Yeah.
So you've got to decentralize it. And so he put it into Bitcoin because no government can interfere with Bitcoin.
That's true.
And BlackRock, 2 weeks ago, BlackRock and another massive thing just bought in so much Bitcoin.
Yeah.
That it's just going to go.
So Bitcoin's your crypto, guy, your go-to crypto?
No, it's stacks. So we create art, but it's directly embossed or thing is onto Bitcoin. So instead of a Jan van der Riebeeck or Mandela on your Bitcoin, it will be artwork.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a really...
There's a whole world.
Yeah, people, this guy is spitting knowledge at you.
I know, it's very exciting. Look, it takes a certain... My wife understands it. I mean, these people talk. We do... Once a week, that she does Twitter spaces.
Okay.
And with she talking to artists right around the world. It's so global. So we've got art. She's got Bitcoin art or something. And what we're doing at the moment is we are Art Matthews, Khan, Barletones, a whole bunch of South African artists, because that's the people we know.
Yeah.
We have recorded acoustic songs as a mixtape. Now we've got all these mass...
Together, one mixtape together.
Yeah, everybody's recorded on there.
Okay.
Anyway, they're singing this, but we bring the songs now, and now we're getting all these NFT superstar artists to make NFTs for each song.
Okay.
And then we're going to sell it. But it's also going to be kind of an LP. I think we're going to print some LPs. So okay. It's just these projects. And it's so new.
So does each band design their own NFT?
No, we just do the music. We give them a song and the artist will interpret the piece of music into an artwork.
Yeah.
And what is amazing is I've been for 30 years doing music in South Africa and it feels like we are stuck in a time warp. We are not really part of the global world, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you might not know it, but the fact is, like for instance, Pink Floyd, it cost them millions to break them in America. So if you are signed to a record company in South Africa and they own 80% of you, why would America, Sony Music, spend money on you to take 20%?
Right.
So forever South African artists has been kept. Yeah, you know what I mean? You got to leave and get your record companies and stuff overseas. You can't... You can do it, yeah. You can have a nice living, which is cool. I mean, I've enjoyed it because I don't like to work a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, the people that's really successful, they constantly touring 6 months at a time and stuff like that. And I think I might just... I don't know. I'm too lazy.
When was the last time you were on tour?
No, I'm constantly on tour. Okay. So I play most weekends.
All right.
I wait for you guys to recover from your hangovers.
Yeah.
And then I'm somewhere in South Africa or wherever.
Okay, nice.
But now there's so many South Africans in the UK that last year I realized that I can basically stay there for a month and play.
In the UK?
And you earn some pounds, yeah. So me and Art Matthews and Ross from Prime Circle are playing Shepherd's Bush Empire on the 13th of July. Yeah, so that's going to be awesome. And we'll be looking at some stuff, maybe Melkbath or Island of Scotland. Maybe some Australian stuff at the end of the year. Because they're all over the place, man. The South Africans are...
Yeah,
everyone's... China, Canada, UK...
Maybe Australia.
Australia's a huge amount, but... The scatterings of Africa, it's the truth.
Yeah, so that was inspiration behind your new song, right?
Because I've lost my buddy who I used to come, whenever I came to Joburg, I used to stay with Paul Thacker from Sony.
Okay.
Or, you know, I've got these guys from the 90s and now they've all left. So you get that feeling you come to Joburg and it's like, oh, you know, there's a bit of an emptiness to your normal. And I've lost a friend out to Canada and one a very good music producer that went off to China. So
all the people used to collaborate.
Yeah.
Now they're all spread out.
Yeah, it's interesting. But it is just that little bit like, oh, damn. You know.
Yeah.
So it was just a song about that vibe.
And you have a new EP coming out on the 25th. So can you speak a little bit about that?
like I said, I've done this Afrikaans album, then I did Scream Rock Nichols, I did my English solo, and now I'm doing this Afrikaans thing again, right? So I'm bringing out these five songs, but I'm calling it Sewe Sakke Hoop, which is seven bags of hope.
Okay.
But there's actually just five songs. It's because I wrote like almost 30 songs, but like,
yeah,
they were crap. So there's only five good ones.
Really?
No. Yeah!
Yeah. Two.
No, goodness.
So did you know you said if he was not a musician, you would have been an archaeologist?
Mm. That's something we need to talk about. An archaeologist.
Yeah, man. I go to sleep every night with Coast to Coast Radio.
Okay.
On YouTube, as these guys, and it's just these hour-long talks about different topics from the Black Pyramid in Canada, in Alaska, to what they found in as the snow is now melting in the Arctic. Some weird stuff. There's such weird stuff.
Yeah.
They found Göbekli Tepe that is 10,000 years old.
What is it?
It's a place of where they used to do rituals and stuff, but the thing is, for instance, the pyramids they believe is 5,000 years old.
Yeah, I think it might be older.
But the Sphinx has got water erosion, right? So the last time there was water was about 11,000 years ago. And it's the same time, it's just after the Yamandrias thing that happened, where the northern hemisphere was hit by a couple of asteroids or stuff. You know what I mean? And it melted a 2 mile thick ice slab and it flooded. And that was a big flood.
Oh, okay.
And then they rebuilt. Atlantis, the theory is Atlantis was wiped out. And it was all these old megalithic structures that you see of tons. These things are, the building blocks are tons and tons and tons. We can't build this stuff today.
Do you think maybe they were aliens?
No, they were just more advanced. They had a different knowledge about the Earth and...
Because it must have taken centuries to build the pyramids if it was just humans.
I think they just knew stuff about frequencies, sound and frequencies.
And last
week. Yes, and we are about to rediscover it.
Yeah.
Because they even said they can't remake the pyramids now. They can't replicate it. And I haven't been to Egypt, but I've heard that the stones are massive. Have you ever been to Egypt?
I love that stuff.
I'm also really fascinated about the rise and fall of civilizations, because there's so much lost treasure out there that's just been lost to time.
Exactly. It's fascinating. Imagine that the Library of Alexander, that got burned down.
Yeah.
By the Christians, right? Well, who did that?
Julius Caesar. Out of jealousy.
Cleopatra, right?
Listen, there was something that happened there, and they burned the whole thing. It was like crazy. I mean, but today the ISIS, you know, the extreme Islamic thing is they are blowing up Buddhas.
Yeah.
Those massive Buddhas.
No way.
Dude, you must check how they've blown those things up, because it's only Allah and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's disgusting. I mean, they're just trampling on history and...
Dude.
It's crazy stuff out there.
Yeah, there's so much information that we can use, because I love history. I love watching videos of history. And I believe that if we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat it. And that happens constantly. You see this always happening over and over again because people don't learn from them. And then again, history is written by the victors.
You know what? I did a show with Simple Minds in Berlin. And what was so weird, it was in a castle. And the story was that Napoleon got in there, but he could only stay in the castle because outside they'd probably kill him.
Okay. Was this when he was
It was a weird story. I don't watched the movie the other day, but I didn't put the two and two together, right?
I heard it's terrible because they rushed through everything.
I think they could make a better movie. But the interesting thing was, inside this castle, there was all these ancient statues of Napoleon and people like that, that it was almost they were hidden or stored. Yeah, it was weird.
When you said they could make a better movie, apparently years ago Stanley Kubrick was supposed to make a Napoleon movie, but he couldn't secure the funding. And he like researched like a lot. He read like 3,000 books on like the time period and stuff. So what he did, he decided to, since he couldn't get the funding, he decided to make a movie based on that time period called Barry Lyndon. And like each frame in the movie looks like a painting from that era.
Such a weird name for a hero.
I know. Right?
Cousin, Barry. It's my idea.
His name is Barry.
We're gonna
Yeah, you know about this.
We're gonna call him Barry Lyndon.
Yeah, it's like that Chubby Rain. Remember that awkward movie from Eddie Murphy?
Which one?
Where they're trying to make a movie around him without him knowing he's in the movie.
I haven't seen that one.
It was this weird, it's like a cult movie kind of thing. It's this comedy. So Eddie Murphy, and he doesn't know what's going on. And it's like doing guerrilla warfare on with camera work behind the bush.
What's it called, the movie?
Flip, man. Chubby Rain.
Chubby Rain.
They made this movie called Chubby Rain. And this, it was fantastic. Actors, and eventually they're getting to say, just say Chubby Rain. And he goes, Chubby Rain, because he doesn't know what's going on. That was so funny.
Yeah.
That reminded me of this video of Mike Tyson. He was doing like some advert and he couldn't pronounce like the words properly. He was like, this is Mike Tyson and this is Cock Cable.
Dude, he's fighting that.
He's fighting Jake Paul.
Dude, Jake Paul, I've seen last night a knockout from Jake Paul.
Yeah, which one? Because he's been knocking people out.
It's like heat. It's like heat and then it's like fucking sweep.
Yeah, like those video games where you like get punched and the sweat starts flying everywhere.
You know, I remember in school, we all give each other lummies, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But then there was this one guy who would give her a lummy and you will feel it go...
Oh, on your shoulder.
Almost like... It's like, geez, this guy's got a different punch.
Yeah.
And I believe some boxers must have you have to have that type of punch. Yeah. So that guy might be... He comes across like a total idiot, but... I bet you he'll smack the shit out of you.
I'm interested in seeing the Mike Tyson fight though. Mike Tyson is 58, but he's Mike Tyson at 58.
Yeah, but he changes. You don't have that. I'm sure he'd rather watch a movie at home. I don't think if he's got that.
He's a warrior. He has a warrior spirit. I feel like.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope he smacks the shit out of you. But.
Yeah, because I think like.
Once you're a fighter and once you have that in you, it's very hard to let go. Especially when you at that age. But I feel like it's the same with everything. When it comes to your craft with what you love, I'm sure it's the same for you with making music. Like, I'm sure you never want to quit making music.
Well, I will quit making punkish music. Maybe at the age of 65.
Okay.
Kind of go. I've always liked the way that Nick Cave did it because he was in a band called A Birthday Party, which was trash punk.
Yeah.
Then he did Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, which was always sometimes quite gospel-y, which was quite shocking. How did it go from there to there? And another guy, Johnny Cash. About Johnny Cash is, with him singing songs in that register, he could do that till he was 83.
And his voice evolved. The same with Frank Sinatra. I feel like Frank Sinatra's music later on was better because like his voice like changed.
Also leaning down low.
Okay.
So I can do it for longer, baby.
Hey, would you venture to country?
No, I like alternative rock because country is unnecessary if you can do something. Because country is like blues, it is the basis of something. So just doing that is boring. So I like to play around with country, R&B, whatever.
Other than music, I know you paint. When did that begin? Like, was it something that you always did on the side?
I studied printing, like the machine mining. So I thought I wanted to stay in the art world or work with ink and whatever. So I was a printer. I studied in Joburg for a year, then I worked at a factory. I was terrible at that. In that time, I met Theo and we started the Springbok & Noodles. Then the Springbok & Noodles started to make more money than my day job. And then I left my day job.
That's everyone's dream.
Well, but I started working in 16. I think it was better to buy my own cigarettes.
Oh.
So I started becoming a spur waiter.
Okay.
And eventually I got fired.
Yeah.
So I was not a very good waiter because I'm dyslexic and I can't spell the bloody words at all. So they couldn't read my dockets. But it was a lot of fun. I got good tips. And then I was a wine boy. I was a terrible wine boy.
And they said that cigarettes are bad for you, but it led you to this.
Yes, that's why I'm smoking this. This is 95% better for you.
Really?
Mm.
Okay.
Well, this is fake smoking.
Is that a vape and a cigarette inside it?
So it's a little thing in the tobacco, but it just eats it up. It doesn't burn.
Okay.
Oh, and it smells like fart.
Oh.
Well, so he's got a cup of wine.
So sometimes after the show, people, I want to have a little quick cigarette. People come for photos.
Yeah.
I always have to say, man, I didn't fart. It's just my little cigarette.
And they believe you?
And they go, oh, yeah, don't worry. And I go, oh.
So do you have like any crazy stories about like when you're on tour or like any crazy encounters with fans or anything?
All right, here's a crazy story. There was a concert in the park close to the house where I was staying in London. We went to this thing, we got really trashed. It was this pop idol guy, it was actually quite cool. He became a star in his own right, and he was doing a show. Then after that, we were really trashed. It was me, my wife, and my agent, and his wife. Then we went to another one of his artists' stuff, and that was Pharrell Williams.
Oh, wow.
So he used to bring in, before Pharrell became really a big producer, he was in one of my favorite bands called NERD.
Okay.
Right? Do you know that song? Anyway, and so we went to an NERD show and we were really, really drunk. And we went backstage. I had my photo taken with Pharrell and we were chatting, but I was and then they had this golden bottle of champagne.
Oh.
And I just thought, ah, you fucking rappers.
Rappers, yeah.
You fuckers. So I stole this bottle of golden champagne and I hid it in my agent, who's his agent's wife's bag.
Whoa.
And we drop. And then eventually the bodyguard comes and he says, no, take out the champagne out of the bag. And she says, she doesn't know anything. Anyway, I say, oh, no, okay, cool. And I take it out and we put it back. And we're standing there. So I start collecting beers, putting it in a bag. So the beers were open, so it starts to run out. Shit. Anyway, we got out of there, but it was a function where Lady Gaga was there. Ernie Abdi played, and our boy George, we met him upstairs as well.
Yeah.
And I tell you, we went out, so the paparazzi thought I was, not me, but all of us were famous, because they think everybody's famous. So they started taking photos, and it was like,
even though you are famous.
And it's such a cool feeling, we get into the cab, and we're off, and we go like, what the fuck? That was a wild night. Yeah.
Dude, that sounds like the total rock star experience.
Yeah, and so I tried to steal his champagne.
Yeah.
I almost got away with it, but I stole a lot of his beer, and it's ruined my friend's handbag. And but I walked past Lady Gaga, and she was coming. She's quite a short girl. It's fantastic. For South Africans to have these opportunities, right. It's fantastic.
This beer, and you say this.
I'm a fly on the wall as much as everybody else, man.
What do you think of Tyler? She's made really big.
Well, congratulations for her. It's just so difficult these days because I don't listen to a lot of radio.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I don't even know. I every 2 weeks I make radio, I make playlists, my own playlist.
Okay.
Of kind of music I like.
Is it a Spotify playlist?
Yes, and I always put it out on Twitter or Instagram and you just click on it and then you can hear. That keeps me busy for 2 weeks and in that 2 weeks I start getting new stuff.
Yeah.
And that way you hear the productions. What's happening?
That's good. That's really good way to keep updated on everything.
Yeah, I like old style rap.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm working on some old school kind of rap at the moment.
Yeah, man. What is that DJ? you know that old style rap, these guys, there was this one cool one where they were sitting around the table and they start fighting, and he jumps over the table. Do you remember that?
But when you say that you can rap,
Oh, I can't rap.
Oh.
Not a fuck.
No, we're putting him
under
the spotlight.
He
might
move. Okay,
you are on the podcast.
Yes.
Butcher Brown? It's old style, right? A friend of mine asked me to say some MC rhyme, so I said this rhyme I'm about to say. The rhyme was liquor and then it went this way. Liquor like a lack of my check. Now that's for real,
mate. Yeah.
That's groovy.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Absolutely.
I did enjoy Lil Yachty's last album.
Oh, really?
I thought that should have won a Grammy.
Really?
That was incredible. No, no, no. Not Lil Yachty. Lil. Dude, you must hear this thing. It sounds like Pink Floyd meets R&B meets rap.
Okay.
Yeah, that is Lil Yachty.
Lil Yachty. Yeah. I really like, what's his name? 21 Savage's new album.
Is it Lil Yachty, right?
Yeah.
Flip, that was good. What one have you got?
The new 21 Savage album, American Dream. Because, like, that album's dope, but, like, most of the songs, the, like, lyrics are, like, really basic.
Because, you know, sometimes the production is what it's about, you know? Yeah.
There's this one song, Pop Your Shit, where he's like, what you smoking? Uncle Snoop. Smells like gas. Somebody pooped. Like, that's like really basic shit, but it slaps.
Well, that sounds like actually a bit of Shakespearean compared to a lot of the other lyrics.
Right. Love the trappers.
I can't believe I can't get a little
Did you hear Snoop is making kitty songs now?
Kitty songs.
I know, it's daily affirmations, so he's empowering these little kids to grow up being monsters.
Wow, he does a lot. Like, he also has like a football team, American football team. He has a movie inspired by his football team. And he does, like, he's been on like all these ads, like he does Japanese ads, Bollywood ads. Like,
and then
they
say
starters
are unproductive.
He's like the most productive person, and like he's high 24/7. Apparently he said he quit weed.
That was a publicity stunt.
Yeah, like,
and
I thought
he was his PR agency because the backlash was apparently so bad.
Yeah, I thought he was dying. I thought maybe he had like kidney problems or something. Liver problems, lungs, something.
Yeah.
Go to Sun City. It's weekend. Let's go to Sun City. On our titties.
Oh my man, Shakespearean,
bro.
Incredible.
Yeah, that's cool.
Production on that is mind blowing.
Would you like work with like these hip hop producers?
Because
like, Metro Boomin.
You know, that is the whole thing, is to merge sounds.
Yeah.
You know, I want to. Because the word like, rock means kick fucking ass. You know what I mean? Yeah. So. I wanna get those sounds, and that's why, in my personal capacity, a lot of my in my English solo stuff, I work with a lot of electronica, because I can, you know what I mean, and I like it.
No, I'm pretty sure.
I've got a cool story for you about Elton John.
Okay, please share.
Okay, so there's this story that goes around that when he, in the 80s, he came to South Africa and he played at Sun City, but he wanted to play outside in the, under the African skies, and that was in his period where he was wearing a lot of makeup, and These big wigs, you know, like those old English wigs that they used to.
The ones that security guards wear.
The woman. No, man, these curls, these hairs.
Okay, like mice.
And they wear tighty pants, and they've got this, the baroque clothing.
Okay.
So he used to put makeup on, and extremely, and he used to sit by the piano and he plays, right? A lot of makeup.
Yeah.
And they said to him, I think you should play inside. And he said, no, he wants to play under African skies. So he did it. And what happens is, with the lights, all the moths
You attracted all of
us. We're stuck on these specials. Imagine singing him as a thing. Yeah. You didn't know.
Yeah, you're not a fan for that. You're not going to ever think.
That story was cocksmart. I just thought it was so funny.
And that's something no one would ever think of.
Oh, it's the subtleties of life that actually... Yeah.
That's the thing when like setting up events or creating a set or something, there's like so many things that you cannot control and it could go wrong, but I guess that's the part of the experience.
Look, live shows is, I call it roadkill because I'm five shows, four of them is probably going to be shitty, right? And but not for the audience, but for you, because there's something bound to go wrong. The guitar strings go, oh, it can't break. Ah, oh, this doesn't work. It's not normal for things to go 100% unless you are Britney Spears or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? You've got the money for guys to do
that. Yeah, Britney, I should have everyone doing it for her.
Oh, I love her on Instagram.
You
know what I'm thinking? Yeah. I'm supposed to do TikTok because I'm supposed to do TikTok. I haven't done anything yet. Yeah. And I thought maybe I should do South African Britney Spears.
Oh.
Yeah, every day I just dance like Helen Zillard. And I'm crazy.
That would be a sight to see.
It's roadkill, man. It's terrible. I always look at it, I'm just like, oh,
yeah. I wonder, like, what she's thinking when she does that.
She's got this vibe of, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I love myself, fuck you all. Which is good for her.
Yeah.
I hope it's that.
I hope, and no one's controlling
it. I hope it's... Nobody can control that.
Well, they took her kids away, or they like, had control because she had the kids.
I think she's done some... But you know, it's just because she's in the news. But you know what? If you walk down the street where you grow up, many of the mothers has got problems.
Yeah.
You know, women are very intricate. They've got more hormones than us.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, emotions are there everywhere.
Yeah.
And especially.
We also got hormones, but all hormones is like a blind horse.
Yeah. And it also doesn't help that the fact that she's been famous since she was a kid. Like her whole life.
She's got a warped sense of reality, right? Yeah. Because she's never been in reality.
Yeah.
Same as Michael Jackson.
Yo, he was like a fascinating guy. I feel like in the future, people are going to look back at him and like think like he was an anomaly.
Michael Jackson, what is an interesting phenomenon here is because I have to be honest with my own feelings here, right?
Okay.
And the thing is, if he did those, which it sounds like he did, the children thing, right? Yeah. Then I am supposed to go, okay, fuck you, I'm not listening to your music. But there's a part of me that she's... the songs were so good, and it was never about him.
That's the thing.
And as a songwriter, I know that it feels like sometimes you are just in a thing, a conduit, and that music comes from a different place. And you are just... You're tuning into a frequency, and you're writing it down, and you're listening. And that is what music is. So I, in my heart, I feel like, hey man, I can't. Michael Jackson, I like his music, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel you.
It's an interesting phenomenon we're going through as humans. There's a lot of things happening.
Right.
Things are changing. Our brains are getting pushed into new directions. And there's good. But there's also a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
So I know you have a flight to catch and I don't want to keep you here for too long, but I just want to like end this with two last questions. Like going back on that Michael Jackson topic, I think like we as listeners and viewers need to like separate the artist from the art, because we can dislike the person but like their work as well. Because like if you had to like stop listening to everyone who like ever did something shady, there'd be a lot less art out there for us.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I think we need to take the music away from the artists.
Yeah.
Because I fell in love with the music. I mean, I didn't really fall in love. I loved his dancing, but it's not like I had a personal connection to him as a person.
Right.
So I guess that's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
So before we end this, I want to ask you, would you like to be remembered for the person you were, or for the art that you left behind?
Probably just the person that I am, because at the end of the day, that is my art as well.
Mm.
So in a long time from now, when you're gone, do you want people to be like, oh, this was a good person, and he also made great art?
Oh, great music. Person! No. It's just, all I'm saying is like, there's no difference between me on stage and me off stage in a weird, you know, in a way.
Okay.
I'm like a character actor. I'm not a good actor, so I can't.
Have you met it?
I feel like I've got this, you know, and then I'm.
Right.
It's just fucking, it's just supposed to be either beautiful or a lot of fun.
Yeah. Cool, man. Arnold, it was a pleasure having you.
Lovely.
I'd like to do it again sometime.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, there's a whole world out there to talk about.
You're right. We could do this all day.
Yeah.
But it was a great conversation. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.